Okay, Elizabeth Esty, I'm going to throw some stuff at you, and you'll tell me what you think about all of that.
Is this a lightning round? Sounds like a
Lightning
lightning round,
round,
Alan.
lightning round. Yes, lightning round. DACA, the idea that the children of immigrants who are brought here without any consultation on their own should be thrown back out of the country, something that Donald Trump seems to believe in.
Well, I'll tell you, I have been a fierce advocate to do what we can to ensure that the DACA children, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, these are young people of whom there are thousands in my district, who came to the United States when they were mostly very small children. They had no choice in that matter. The only country most of them have known is the United States. They have grown up in our communities, been educated in our schools, and want to stay and be full participating American citizens. And it is in our interest as America to welcome them. Their energy, their dynamism, their commitment and love of country, it often exceeds those of folks who have the luxury of having been born in the United States and being able to take their citizenship for granted. So America is a nation of immigrants. And for these young people, we don't hold children responsible for the decisions of their parents. And I think we really do need to fix this problem. If you poll quietly, ask if I ask my Republican colleagues, we have more than enough votes to pass this in the House, but we need to get it to the floor. And so the Problem Solvers Group, which I know you and I have talked about before, we came up with some proposals of how to bring a vote to the floor and do something pretty arcane and detailed parliamentary procedure that's only been used a couple of times in the last 10 years,
Is that
called
the
the Queen
discharge
of the Hill. This is the Queen of the Hill parliamentary procedure that would bring up, the proposal is to bring up four different bills in order, all dealing with immigration reform in different fashions. Some of them very conservative, some of them, one might say, much more liberal. And so we're in the process. There are 248 members of Congress who are co-sponsors of a rule that would put this procedure in place. So we're pushing very hard to try to get this called in the next month or two.
And what about the old discharge petition? 218 signatures brings it to the
Well,
floor.
that's what we're working on at the moment, is trying to get, we have plenty of Democrats to get to sign that, but we need 23 Republicans to sign a discharge petition. And I'll see today where those numbers are, but we're not there yet. I think we had 13 or 14 last week who signed, but we need to get, once we have enough people signed on that, then we know we can get the votes, the signatures on the Democratic side to require that rule to be brought to the floor, and that rule would then turn around and bring four bills to the floor. And we'd vote in order. We'd vote in order and be able to, I believe, get some good legislation passed. I'm pretty confident if we get the opportunity to vote.
Talk about arcane procedures. I remember when I was an intern in Congress all those years ago, and people were lying. They said they signed the discharge petition, but they hadn't. And in order to do that, the Democrats held back 10 people, all of whom memorized everybody on the list. They leaked it to the New York Times, and everybody, all the liars, signed up. It was pretty funny.
Well, it's actually during the era when you were an intern, the discharge petition was private. They did not
That's
release the
right.
names. Now it's public. Now it's
Aha.
public.
So
And
everybody
so
knows who
no one
signed.
can do that anymore. No one can do that
That's,
anymore.
well, I'm
So
glad to see things
currently,
are, yeah.
yeah, no, currently there's, for better and worse, but that puts the Republicans who signed it under intense pressure, and that's what we're dealing with right now.
Okay, next part of the lightning round,
Yes.
Jerusalem and the Iran deal.
Yes.
Go.
Well, I have been very clear from the beginning. I think the president's unilateral decision to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem was very unwise, and I think we're seeing it just in the awful in the what's been happening in Gaza over the last few weeks, and then over the last few days with loss of life and bloodshed. Occasioned and sparked in part by unilateral decision by this president in a way that got nothing that helped our relationship with with getting a resolution that is good in this powder keg part of the world. It's extremely unfortunate and I think disruptive. I strongly disagree with the president's decision to pull out of the Iran deal, which has helped not with all of Iran's bad behavior, but has dramatically reduced the risk of Iran acquiring nuclear weapons. That was the point of the Iran deal, to prevent them from acquiring nuclear weapons. Now, Iran's engaged in lots of other bad behavior, and there are other things we can and need to be doing around deterring and stopping that other bad behavior. But nuclear weapons are in a category of their own, and that is worth keeping that deal in place. And we're now in a very awkward posture, frankly. You know, our European allies strongly want to stay in the deal, and we put them in an impossible situation where they can either stay in the deal and then get excluded by doing deals with U.S. banks. It's a terrible situation we're in now, and I hope we can get a resolution, and I hope our European allies are able to talk some sense and get some resolution here that is good for the interests of the American people, good for the interests of nonproliferation, and of preventing Iran from getting a nuclear weapon and reducing the tension in that part of the world.
I know you've always, Elizabeth Esty, been passionate on the subject of gun control for very good reason. Great tragedy in the district. So are we making any progress at all here?
Well, it's not been, I would say we're not making a lot of progress in Congress on this, but I do think that the activism that we saw with the Parkland students, and I will say I have seen with students in my own district, students from Connecticut helped organize and promote on April 20th, which is the anniversary of, you know, of the Columbine shootings, to get students to stand up and walk out. Democracy needs to be responsive to the needs of the American people. And I think the activism we've seen historically by young people has been incredibly effective. Young people were an important part of the engine in the civil rights movement. Young people were absolutely critical in stopping the Vietnam War. Young people absolutely critical in changing this country's policies on LGBT rights. That's going to be part of when things change, and they will. I think it's going to be young people who see the wisdom of smarter, better policies that help save lives. And I feel optimistic long-term about that and the activism and the engagement of young people who, rather than being angry and disaffected and saying, I will have nothing to do with politics, are saying, oh, no, no, no. You need to get registered and you need to vote. And they're absolutely right. That's how things change.
I know you've been talking about safety on our trains and on airlines, but let's stay with airlines because we only have a minute here to do that in. We see a passenger being partially sucked out through a window. Ugh. Now we see a captain or a pilot of a plane. Same thing could have happened to him. Is it that the fleet is getting too old, or what's happening?
Well, I think we're going to have to do a really careful investigation to figure out what happened with our Southwest flight. And we do need to replace some of the fleet. And frankly, it's important that we just passed the FAA reauthorization bill just a week or two ago, including actually a piece of my legislation to promote and support more women in aviation, like the pilot who so successfully and heroically landed that plane.
Yep.
She's one of only 6% of airline pilots are women. Only 2% of mechanics are women. We absolutely cannot meet the workforce needs in aviation or in aerospace without diversifying the workforce, and particularly to encourage more women to enter those fields. But I think those safety issues have to remain front and center. And one of the issues we really need to keep an eye on is how are we going to deal with drones? If you look at planes having been brought down by birds, birds aren't made of metal. One drone could take down a jet easily. And so one of the reasons why it was so important that we passed the FAA bill was because it's beginning to put in place more regulations on drones. And that's going to be incredibly important, especially on the East Coast with our crowded airways around our major airports Right now, it's kind of the Wild West. And this is an urgent, urgent safety matter for the United States because we have hobbyists as well as Amazon, as well as everybody else, as well as for safety reasons using drones, whether it's to inspect sites for insurance purposes or high tension lines to see where there might be problems. UAVs, unmanned vehicles are going to be incredibly important moving forward, but it's got to be done in a safe way. So we need to get this bill passed and signed by the president and be smart about what we're doing. And we've obviously got to check the fleet and figure out what happened on that Southwest flight.
Always wonderful to talk to Elizabeth Esty. Elizabeth, you have some more time left in Congress, and we'll be talking to you, I hope. I hope you'll be good enough to come
back
and talk to us.
We'll talk about veterans next time. I had three bills marked up this past week, so lots of work still to be done.
Okay, Elizabeth Esty, so many thanks from all of us for doing this and for your service.
Thanks so much. Take care.